Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on Spoiler Country.
Cowabunga!
Hey, hey, people of Earth, it's time to enter the Spoilerverse via our secret portal at the exclusive Arctic Club in beautiful downtown Seattle with our hosts, John and Kenrick. Welcome to Spoiler Country.
Hey, if you're listening to our show for the first time and you're on one of the social medias that we're on, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those kinds of things, you should always check us out on Spoilerverse.com. But if you want to keep up with our latest episodes, you should bring out your smartphone, get into your favorite podcatcher, find Spoiler Country, and hit subscribe. Then you'll get all our new stuff.
And if you want to reach out to us, you can do that in two ways. You can call us, leave us a voicemail at 707-656-2080. Again, 707-656-2080. Or you can shoot us an email at spoilercountry@gmail.com.
Armies of the Spoilerverse unite! And welcome back to For the Country. I'm Kendrick Regan. That is Mr. Horsley. And Today on the show, well, it's really, really exciting because he is one half responsible for one of the greatest comic book, toy line, movie line, just all around badass awesomeness that you all know and love, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kevin Eastman.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of speaking with him, and one of his, he doesn't do a lot of online interviews. They're all scheduled out. Jeff got us in there. It was great.
Yep.
We got to talk to him about Turtles, about what's coming out new, which he talks about, The Last Ronin, which is an unpublished story from the 80s with him and Peter Laird, the other creator of Turtles, and talked a little bit about my buddy Ben Bishop, Peter Laird.
You said Lillard. Who is Peter Lillard?
All right, so you know what? First off, screw you. Second off, I can't say certain words, so you're making fun of me. You're making fun of my speech impediment. So
All day long, I will make fun of you for that. You run a podcast. You're going to get made fun of.
I'm going to call the Spoiler Country HR department, and I'm going to turn you in for this.
Okay, so do you need my number now, or do you know which one to call?
No, I'll call you. I'll call you afterwards. I want to complain about Kenrick. He's an asshole.
But Kevin Eastman, can you believe that we got to sit down and have some time with him? And he gave us more time than he gave other people, which was awesome.
Yeah, because it was great. We got about like 20, 25 minutes with him, talked about a bunch of stuff. He did a great bump for us, which you heard in the beginning there.
Yeah.
He was a lot of fun. Man, I grew up, I was a huge Turtles fan. Like we talked about it. We've talked about Turtles on.
I was a big fan. Let me interrupt you. I was a big fan in the mid 80s with the comic books when they were magazine size, because I missed that. I was like really right when they got started doing the normal comic books and they were all over right before the cartoon. And then the cartoon came out about 3 years later. And I think that's when you got really invested. I think you're a much bigger fan than I was, because it hit your age group a little bit different than mine.
It did. So I found Turtles actually before the cartoon. Cartoon was where I fell in love with them, right? Because I was right at my age, 88, 89. I was like, you know, 8, 7, 8 years or whatever. But like before the cartoon was coming out, before I saw it, I can't remember which one it was. My Uncle Dick, my dad's best friend, right? We called him Uncle Dick. He used to give me comic books or toys cool gifts. Most people do have an Uncle Dick. They have an uncle that's a dick, one of the two.
You're right.
But he gave me a copy of the second issue of Turtles, the actual magazine size one, the first running of the second issue. He's like, here, check this out. Thanks, Johnny. And then it's kind of a weird gift to give like an 8, 9-year-old, because those are very adult comics and in tone.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I loved the fact there was these turtles running around doing stuff. And I read it. I didn't understand what I was reading because I was like 8 or 9, but I loved the pictures, loved the art. And then it was a cartoon. And then I really fell in love with the cartoon because it was quirky. It was funny. It was very different from the comic book, but I loved the cartoon. I had like every freaking toy. Like I was the demo at convincing my parents to buy me all the toys. Between Turtles and He-Man, those were my two like toys growing up. I had tons of those toys. I ended up saving up my money from like birthdays and Christmases 1 year so I could buy the Turtle van. And at the time it was like $80 or something like that. So it was a lot of money for me to buy myself as a kid, as like an 11, 12-year-old kid in the early 90s. And I remember getting it. I bought it from Target in Silverdale. I remember bringing it home, opening it up. I played with it for like 2 hours, and it fell apart. Like, it just broke. And I was so upset because I saved my money. Is that a Bandai toy? Whatever company was making it at the time, I don't remember.
Or Playmobil.
Yeah. But it the doors fell off. They broke off. The bottom of it just broke. And I was so upset. I was crying. I was so mad. I ended up taking it back and returned. It was the first time I ever returned something. And I was so mad. I returned it back. And I was like, I'm never buying a vehicle for a toy again because they fall apart and they're crappy. And so I just bought more action figures. And I was like, I'm not going to buy the Technodrome. I'm not going to buy any of the vehicles because they just fall apart. So it gave me such a bad experience. Like, for like the rest of my toy buying career, I wouldn't buy any of the accessories or playsets. I would just buy the toys because I was convinced that every toy set I was going to get was going to be like the turtle van where it just fell apart.
Well, while Johnny cries about his childhood and his broken toys, why don't we listen to Kevin Eastman talk about Ronin and everything that's going on right now and get a little bit of history of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Kevin himself in his own words. All right, guys, we're here. Special, special day. If you're like me, who grew up in the 80s, 10 years old, I went down to the comic book store and I saw this crazy, crazy book that had turtles on the cover. And then I fell in love. Then you're going to love our next guest. And he's the co-creator, Kevin Eastman. Thank you so much for joining us on Spoiler Country.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks for asking me to come on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, this is really cool, man. How long have you been... Oh, man. How the best way to put this? How long have you been working on or being a part of the Turtles now? Has it been like almost 35 years?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Peter and I did that, that very first, very first drawing or two that sort of was the spark that launched the quote unquote jokingly back then the Turtle Empire was back in 1983 into early 84.
Right.
And we self-published the first issue in May of 84. So, again, the Turtles have been with us for now 36 years. And, although Peter and I sort of ran and managed everything for the first 15 years, I guess, then I stepped away, sold my interest, and then Peter ran things for a while, then he retired, and then it was sold to Viacom. And then 2010, Viacom approached me to help consult on the new comic books, the TV series, and the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm, after all that time, I'm back in Turtles. So the last, 11 years, I've been full on working, as a freelancer or consultant or anything, all things Turtles, and it's just the greatest gift ever. I love it.
That's awesome.
As much as I did when I first started it. So it's fantastic.
You know who we had on just a couple of weeks ago? We had Kim Dawson and Bobby Herbeck on.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And it's coming up on the, we just were celebrating 30 years of the TMNT movie. And
yeah, that's crazy, right?
Yeah. When you think back when that movie, when you guys got the deal to actually make that movie, what was going through you guys' head?
Well, the thing, what was interesting at that time is that what Peter and I loved the most about that whole experience is that we went into that world of animation and toys and then eventually the movie without blinders. We knew what we were getting into for the most part. We knew the areas that we didn't know we'd get help with, but we knew that heroes of ours like Jack Kirby and so many other, shoulders that we stand on giants that we stand on the shoulders of that created characters that influenced us sometimes didn't get to consult or have say or even profit from their invention. So Pete and I were pretty adamant that we had full control over who was writing it, who was designing the costumes, who was doing all of this. And we were very blessed in that, with that first movie, I didn't have much interaction with Bobby. The main writer I worked with, the guy that actually wrote the script, as far as I know, was a guy named Todd Langdon.
Right.
But he worked directly with Steve Barron. So we worked with Steve, who we loved and adored, Todd Langdon on the script, and of course, the incredible, incomparable Jim Henson, who brought these characters to life in a way that I just could never have imagined. And, it was a perfect storm of creativity with those three guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a magical movie though. It's still it just holds apart. You know what I mean? It's it. How do you put this? It there's a lot of nostalgia around it. You know, so when it's on, you got to stop. You got to watch it, and then you're like, oh my god, I can't believe how fun this was. I think when that came out, 1989. Is that right? 1990. So I was
15, yeah, 1990 to
15, 16. I still loved it.
You were 16?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, it was one of those perfect movies. Again, this perfect storm idea when it came out and what it did for the times and what it did as a movie. It's like, to me, it reminds me of, you know, not without being biased, and is that a comfort movie or some nostalgic movie that, you know, when I look back and you know, if I'm flicking channels and Alien, the original Alien movie comes up,
yeah,
I'll stop and watch it.
Yeah.
Or the original Blade Runner movie, or even,
exactly,
you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, that first movie, that was such a wonderful time. But those are staples, and those are huge inspirations and influences to what we were doing. So that first movie was fantastic.
Yeah. See, for me, it's the same vein, right? Raiders of the Lost Ark, I stop. Goonies, I stop. Back to the Future, I stop.
Yep.
TMNT, I stop.
Yep.
It's that tactile feel, too. It's the puppets that Henson did, where it's so amazing looking that you're just like, okay, I got to stop and do this.
Yep,
I loved it.
That's right.
But when you stopped doing TMNT, when you stepped away for a while, which makes sense, you know what I mean? Because I kind of feel like you look at bands that play for 40 years, they got to get sick of playing that same song, even though they're making a good amount of money every time they tour and they, you know, they sing that once, you know, there are a few songs that everybody wants to hear, but good Lord, man, doing it for 40 years, you got to have some new stuff going on. And when you left and did Heavy Metal Magazine, one of my favorite publications, because I loved the movie and then I read the books, and then, you know, what was it like working on Heavy Metal?
Well, that's, you know, it's a great point, because it is like, you know, Peter and I worked on all things Turtles for, you know, 15, almost 20 years, yeah, solid, you know, 90 hours a week, every day, day in, and no, there was no love lost for our creations and the characters. It was,
right,
you know, both Peter and I were influenced by Jack Kirby, who is known for a lot of different creations and a lot of different characters, and he wrote and drew and did everything. So to me, it was always, I wanted to be one of those guys like that was always challenging myself artistically and creatively in writing and drawing, you know, like Jack Kirby. So it was things like Heavy Metal that just brought in a whole new level of creativity that was really exciting to me. Again, taking a break from the Turtles to some of my own projects. I did kids projects and some science fiction projects and stuff,
yeah,
that's
cool.
It's a creative stretching of those legs that sort of brings you a better perspective. So when I came back to the Turtles, you know, years later, in like the 2010, early 2011, it was not only with a fresh perspective that I'd done some other things. It is like getting the band back together and you go, you know, it was pretty good when we were together. We played the songs. And so that, as well as a lot of the guys that I get to work with at IDW, are so creative. And, you know, I call them kids because they're half my age, and they're, you know, more, they draw better or write better than I ever did. And they're just fantastic and so inspirational. So,
speaking of IDW, how is work going there? Are you having fun? Do you have new creations you can talk about? And what's coming up that we can actually maybe get a little sneak peek at?
Absolutely, because it's always, I have to be careful because I don't want to let the...
If you say something, Kevin,
warn me not to...
That you can't say, just tell me. If you accidentally let something slip, just tell me. We'll edit it out.
Yeah, no worries. You know, I talk too much anyway. But what was fun is December of last year, we finished 100 issues of the Turtles.
Wow.
That, you know, started in 2011, and issue 100 came out in December, and that was such a, in my opinion, a definitive run on Turtles within the IDW universe.
That's
it was a whole new universe of Turtles and creation. Oh my God, it was just great. And I got to work with the incredible, incomparable, you know, Tom Waltz and so many fantastic artists.
Don't mean to interrupt, but my co-host John, his buddy Ben Bishop, mm-hmm, you've worked with him, and you blood with his buddy Ben Bishop, and he's wondering how that went.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, we've had Ben Bishop. We met through David Avalone, and I created a concept called Drawing Blood, which is kind of a Spinal Tap sort of semi-fictional. It's a completely fictional true story of this character named Shane Bookman. And we were looking for, it's all set within the world of comic books, kind of like Spinal Tap was set within the world of music. And So we were looking for series artists to do that to help bring it to life. And we had seen Ben's work in a book he did called The Aggregate. And yeah. I approached him and said, hey, we think you're the perfect guy for this series. And so he joined us, and we've been working with Ben since, goodness, 2017. And I'm going to work with him for many, many years to come. And actually, we did a turtle story together last year called Target R, based on Raphael and stuff. So yeah, that project's going great. And we're almost done with the, not almost done. We're about an issue and a half away from finishing the Kickstarter support for our 2019 Kickstarter.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, event, which raised money for issues 5, 6, 7, and 8. So
nice.
Yeah. So we're working away on that. And then, back at IDW, Tom Walton and I wrote a story adapted from a story Pete and I wrote in 1987 called The Last Ronin. So it's a older, edgier, kind of Dark Knight-y version of a turtle story. So we're sort of hammering away at that, and that'll be out later this year too.
Was that a released story? The Last Ronin?
I say that again, please?
Was that a released story?
No, it was a story that Peter and I wrote in 1987. We did the outline for the story, and it had been in my archives since then. And so, you know, I discovered it about 10 years ago. And as Tom and I were looking for the next evolution of where we wanted to go with Turtles after issue 100,
because
we wanted to step away for a bit. But then we wanted to do something, again, older and edgier for a much older audience. And so we started working on that last January. So not this past January, January before. So we've been making notes on it for about a year, and now we're in full production.
Oh, that's
awesome.
That'll
be out later. Probably, I think August, I think. So.
Does it feel like you're going back in time? You guys
will dig it. Oh, goodness, yeah. It's great. It's just...
Did you look at some of the original ideas and go, what the hell were we thinking?
Oh, yeah. No, that was the fun part when I rediscovered it, because we had written it as a full outline, beginning, middle, and end, that we just never did. And so going back to that time period, but then we also were adapting it and updating it to, because it was set 1987, it was designed to be set 30 years in the future, which would have been 2017. So Tom and I adapted it, and we're having it set kind of around 2040. You know, we're not saying exactly,
yeah.
It's definitely 20 years in the future today.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. I'm excited to see what comes out. I love the stuff that you're doing at IDW. I saw the documentary, or was it? No, it wasn't the documentary. Was it the Netflix? Yeah, the Netflix documentary series of the toys. Yeah. And it was they were talking like, this is the first time you and Peter actually sat down in a long time. And it was like, oh, now it feels like everything's right with the world, because Laird and Eastman seems like two things that just go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Well, you know, it's funny, and with all respect to, you know, the world and the fans that enjoyed that Netflix documentary, is they painted a very interesting picture, because if you want to see a really good documentary, you can see one called Turtle Power, which Peter and I were together for. We did this whole documentary that came out in 2015. We were together for the Turtles 30th anniversary signing, so they made it seem like we hadn't seen each other in years, and
it just
was simply not true.
You know,
we'd always been in touch, and we had, like I said, we were filmed together, you know, on the old location of the original studio that we created the Turtles in just a couple of years before, and we did the 30th anniversary signing a couple of years before. So that was, you know, they had a different picture they wanted to paint, but you know, what to me was interesting, and you know, they covered some of the toy aspects that I thought were kind of interesting to fans that wanted to see that history. But otherwise, it was, there was a lot of inaccuracy.
Liberal.
And for example, the Toys That Made Us opens up with, well, they say, like, you know, the opening of Toys That Made Us says, you know, that I was born in Springvale, Maine.
Right.
And I don't even know where Springvale, Maine is.
It's over there in Maine. So there
you go. And
it's north, south, east of west of you.
So that's all I'll say about that. And, you know, if you enjoyed it, that's the most important part.
Yeah, that was cool. But now I want to go check out the Turtle Power one, because that seems more in vain. If you're supporting, if you're endorsing that one, then that's the one I want to watch. No, not one that's
it's really well researched and really well done.
So. Yeah. Hey, last question before I let you go, if you don't mind. Taking away this iteration of Turtles right now, what's your favorite era of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Well, but you know, hands down, without a doubt, you know, the first, 15 issues that Peter and I did together, because that was really the creation, the evolution that period from, 1984 to, to the early 90s, that was all things Turtles were built on what Peter and I did then. So that was so much fun.
Yeah.
But I would point to, besides the first Turtle movie that Steve Barron did, which was fantastic, but I would point to a 2007 animated movie called, it was called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that was directed by Kevin Monroe. Hands down, one of my favorite Turtle adaptations. Very clever, just very well written and very well done.
Awesome.
So I would go with that one. I'd pick the 2007 as one of my favorites, looking backwards.
Oh, I love it. Well, Mr. Eastman, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate your time.
Hey, I appreciate having me on. I appreciate all the love and support over the years. And you guys and all your loved ones, stay safe. Keep the faith. And we're look forward to seeing you out there at the comic convention circuit one day soon.
Awesome.
Because we'll get our normal back, and we can't wait to see you all out there again.
Hey, thanks a lot. Are you done crying? Are you good?
I'm good. I'm good. I had a good cry out there. Thanks for listening to me, Kendrick. I appreciate that. I'll recant my HR claim against you for my speech impediment, but you're on thin ice, buddy.
That's kind of funny though. I can't believe that you saved your money up to buy the vehicle was it?
The turtle van.
The van. Really?
Yeah.
The van broke?
Yeah.
How rough were you with that van, dude?
Dude, I mean, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
The point is it fell apart. No, actually, to be honest, when I got it home to out of the box, I was rough with my toys. So I played with my toys, but parts of the van did fall apart just by like not really doing much with it. Because I only had it for like 2 days.
Yeah.
So the doors fell off like within an hour.
Eight-year-old in 2 days can do a lot of damage to a toy truck.
I was like 11, all right? 11 or 12. A little older.
I don't know if that's better or not.
I mean, who knows? But it was, I had so many.
So this
of
was in the 90s? You bought the toy in the 90s?
Yeah, when it came out, yeah.
I thought it came out in the 80s, in the late 80s with the cartoon.
Well, the van, no, well, it probably did. So
because wasn't it the cartoon, then the movies? Like cartoon and toys, then the movies happened, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was 88 for the cartoon, 90 for the movie, and then the toys were coming out like 89 to like after that. The soft heads first and the hard heads.
Yeah.
I think the van came out like 91 or something like that, but I probably bought it like 92 because I'm pretty sure I bought it like a year or so after it had come out.
Yeah.
Because I had to save my money for like a year to buy this thing.
What were you doing with it when it broke? Do you remember?
I was just playing in my room with the turtles, like just –
Were you sitting in the middle of your room with all your turtle gear just lined up around you, and you had your little toy, your little van, and you're going vroom vroom, and then had your like Casey sitting there, and you're like, "I'm gonna hit you, Casey, with my van," and then the van broke, and you're like, "Oh."
Well, I also used to use Lincoln Logs to build houses for my toys.
Uh-huh.
I had a bunch of Lincoln Logs, and I would build like bases out of Lincoln Logs or castles or whatever for them to play in. So I was probably taking the van, like running into a castle.
You run into the castle and be like, why did it break? Because you hit freaking wood with it.
Look, the point is I got my money back and I bought more action figures, okay?
Nice.
Because Target took it back.
So you went and you lied to Target and said, well, hey, everything broke.
I didn't lie.
After I played with it and crashed it into castles and other action figures in my room, and I want my money back.
Look, a toy should not break
joy
after a day or two, okay? It should not. You should be able to play with it for a day or two, and it'd be fine.
Do you wish you still had that broken van? Isn't that weird?
Actually, a couple years ago, if you listen to an old episode called Exploiting Your Friends with Sandman Slim, you know who I'm talking about. But the guy from that episode I talked about, I had bought a bunch of turtle toys from him. Like, I mean,
I remember
every
that
turtle toy that was ever existed.
Yep.
And I gave him like $800 for one. My plan with him was I was going to pull out the ones I wanted to keep and then just sell the rest because they're worth money now.
Yeah.
But he ended up buying them back. I ended up like having him buy them back for me. So I was like, he had buyer's remorse or seller's remorse.
And
I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, but he made you drive like a million miles
And then late was so showing up. And then it was like, what the hell, dude? You should have just left.
Right.
I should have. But we did use that money to go to San Diego Comic-Con.
Right. And we were leaving that day. We were leaving that afternoon. So
is that when was that what it was? I thought it was the next day. But yeah, I guess you're right.
No, because I picked you up on my way back.
That's right. You were so frustrated with that guy.
Dude. And then the whole exploit. Go listen to Exploiting Your Friends with Sam and Slim. It's a really good episode.
It's a great
episode.
It
talks all about what this guy tried to pull. Yeah. But I had it back at that point, right? I had that. I had the Technotron and all this stuff. So no, I don't wish I had it now because it's a big bulky toy. It's not. I mean, it's cool, but like I'm a 38, almost 40 year old man. I don't. I mean, I do have some toys, and I keep some toys that have like sentimental value to me or something like that. But like I don't need to have an entire collection of TMNT Turtle toys.
For me, somebody was really cool and sent me a Argo in the mail or a spaceship Yamamoto for the Japanese style fans of Star Blazers. And
they must be the coolest person ever.
I know, dude, that was really cool of you because I didn't even know. It just showed up and I just assumed because we're getting presents for Ella in the mail, right? And so things will just keep coming in from Amazon and I just assumed that it was something for Ella. So I gave it to Tafine and she opens it up. She's like, "What is this?" I didn't order this. I looked at it. I'm like, "Oh, that's for me."
That's mine.
And then I was like, "Who sent this to me?" But you're the first person I thought of and the first one I sent it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
It's
really cool.
You're welcome. But
when I was growing up, one of the I had Transformers and G.I. Joe. Those were my two toys. And some Legos. Right. But I didn't have a lot of Legos because Legos were expensive. They were more expensive than G.I. Joe. Or Transformers, unless you get like a tiny little thing, you know what I mean? But if you want to get like a set of things, they were too, dude, my parents were like, nah, that's way too much.
Same.
But we got knockoffs. We got Capsilla, which I would highly suggest anybody looking those up because they were super cool. But G.I. Joe was like the first toys I really remember getting. And you would get the action figures and then the back of the box, they would have like cards that gave like a history and kind of like a baseball card for the character.
Right.
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 And then some of the boxes had little points and you cut out the points and you could send them away and get Duke.
Yep.
With however many points you got. So that was my first thing that I remember. And I was like, it's like 82, dude, 83. So I was 8 or 9. And I sent it off, maybe even earlier. I sent it off and got Duke in the mail because you couldn't get Duke in the store. You had to order away for him. And I had Duke, man. He was my favorite guy on he's like supposed to be, and then end up being a lot. Most people hated Duke, right? Because he was like the Captain America goody two shoe guy. But I love Duke. That was my dude because I sent away from him. So I had the toy. And so I'd watch G.I. Joe. I'd have my Duke. I'd have, I can't remember. I had a tank. I don't remember what the style of tank it was. I have to look. And I had a couple other, I only had like 4 or 5 different things from G.I. Joe, not like a ton, but I had that Duke and I had him forever. And I remember my buddy melted him with a lighter.
Right.
You know, and then he ended up getting lost and that was gone. And now it's like, I think out of all the toys I ever had, and I had like Optimus Prime and I had like Soundwave, who was really cool, right?
Yeah.
And I had a couple other ones, but Soundwave was my favorite and Duke was my favorite. And those are probably the only two out of my childhood that I would probably want again, you know, but they're small.
Right. They're small.
They're small. They're not this huge, bulky, like I don't get the people that want the flag aircraft carrier. That's so like the big size of a queen size bed, you know?
Right. Or like the people who want like the giant, what is it? Devastator or,
Omega Prime,
whatever the giant team, where are you going to put that? Like that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no place to put it or, you know, unless you have like, you know, unless you live in a ginormous house that has the ability to display a whole collection of things like that.
Right.
You know, otherwise it's just not worth it. But TMNT and Kevin and the stuff that Kevin Eastman created with Peter Laird, they like tapped in and the stuff that they did is resonating 30 years later, 40 years later with people. It's crazy.
It is. And they had, and similar to the G.I. Joe points, Turtles had pizza points. You could get like, You get visors and calculators, membership cards, and like a play set for like each and a crayon set, all TMNT themed. There's not like you can get books too. I think I used my pizza points to get the books mostly because I thought the rest of the stuff was kind of lame.
Yeah.
But they had that too. But the Turtles, man, they have resonated throughout history. I mean, they're
going to be one of those characters like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like I feel like there's only a couple characters out of comic books that will still be told 3,000 years from now.
Right.
And I feel like Superman is one, Spider-Man is one, and Batman. Those three are probably, I mean, you could throw Wonder Woman in, she probably will be as well, but for sure those three.
Right.
You know what I mean? They will have people talking about it, and I think TMNT is going to be right there with them.
Well, yeah, because it was one of the first. I mean, it was an indie comic, right? But indie comics, you know, there was a couple ones that took off before this, right? There was Cerebus, you know, the Aardvark, and a couple other ones. But like TMNT is the first indie comic, really, that I can think of that blew up to an international scale and has been around for.
The heights that they're at, you'll probably never see this again.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, could it happen? Anything is possible, but the likelihood of how this all happened and working out of a house. Calling it Mirage Studios out of
that's so great.
Yeah, out of their house. Then having the guys show up and says, "We love your product. We want to license it for a movie."
Yep.
And then have, you know, cartoons and toys and a movie come out, and then it just goes on and on and on. And then you have Saban of the Saban Mighty Morphin Power Rangers create the theme song that we all know and love for the cartoon. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Everybody knows that. As soon as you even hum it, people can't.
You know, my band used to cover that song at shows.
Oh, dude, and why wouldn't you?
We used to play a punk rock version of that.
I'm surprised you're the only one. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, I'm sure there's others, but we would do it all. It was a huge hit. We do that and we do DuckTales, and people loved it.
Yeah, they probably all sing along.
They did. Everyone loved the woo part of DuckTales.
What were you surprised? I didn't know Saban wrote that song until Eastman brought it up.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I mean, it's cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, who knew? You know,
we know. Everybody listening now knows.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. He was a lot of fun. He didn't have a lot of time, but then he gave us like twice as much time as he gave other people.
Well, he didn't have a lot of time, but he gave us a lot of information, a lot of attention in that time because.
Yeah.
I was worried that, so just so everybody knows, the interview was set up like he had a couple of days blocked to do interviews with people, and he was giving people times. Okay, show up at this time on this meeting, whatever, and we'll talk.
Here's your meeting ID. Here's the time. And this is the time you need to call him.
We'll talk 15 minutes. And that was fine. We're like, okay, it's cool. It's Kevin. He's a busy guy. We get it. But I expected like his attention to like, you know, he's going to answer the same questions and, you know, whatever.
But we didn't ask the same questions.
Right. We didn't. But we had his full attention. Like we had his, it wasn't like he was doing something else. He was giving us his full attention and giving us the respect of, you know, hey, I'm talking to you, so this is what I'm doing with him, and I'm going to answer your questions as best I can. He gave us some really good, like, his answers weren't one word. His answers were explaining why he was giving the answer. It was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope you guys really enjoyed that.
I did.
If you're interested in more Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff, you should go check out our interview about the creators of the movie from 1990.
Yeah.
91.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, both those guys aren't the most PC, so it's even more fun because of that.
It makes it a lot of fun to listen to and go, ooh, did he say what?
Yeah, he said what? But go check it out. And when you're checking that out, go see some of our other back issues. There's a lot of cool stuff there. There's also a ton of other podcasts on that site, spoilerverse.com. You need to check all out.
So many podcasts there. And so many articles and reviews and previews and so much good stuff coming out daily and multiple times a day that you need to go check out spoilerverse.com and do all that. And while you're there, go to the store link, pick up a t-shirt or a hoodie or a face mask or something else. Look fly as hell, as I'd like to say, and you know, help us out because we get a dollar or two from that, and it really helps out, you know, to keep the site going.
Perfect. All right, guys. I think that's a show, Johnny.
That's a show.
We are good.
Yeah.
In an Oceans of Podcasts.
We are Cthulhu.
As Cthulhu compels you to do. Open the mind and interrupt John. No, read more.
As you do.
All right, guys, we're out.